There's a story about an old winter, snowy night, cold night, when an older lady received a knock at her door. And when she received the knock at her door, she went and opened the door. And as she opened the door, she saw three very tall male figures just standing there. The first man motioned to her and said, "My name is Wealth." "His name is Well-being." And the other guy, "His name is Wisdom." She smiled at all three of the strangers and said, "Nice to meet you. Would you like to come inside for a moment?" Wealth spoke up and said, "Well, that's the problem. You can only invite one of us to come in. The other two will have to remain behind and stay back. So choose carefully and take your time." The woman hadn't expected such a challenge, but was excited about the proposition. And so she thought long and hard about her options. She could surely use a few more dollars, but wealth without well-being would not buy her happiness. And she needed to be happy even if she was homeless. And then there was wisdom, which seemed like a good idea, but the woman didn't know how wisdom could help meet her immediate needs. Confused by her options and shivering from the cold, she used what any wise person would do in making a decision: "Eeny, meeny, miny, moe." She landed on wisdom. She chose wisdom. She said, "Well, there you have it. Wisdom, come on in." She stepped aside to welcome her new friend, but all three men entered the door. Shocked, the woman whispered, "But I thought you said only one could come in." Wisdom replied, "Well, that was the other stipulation you didn't know about. If you would have chosen wealth or well-being, the other two of us would have had to stay behind. But because you chose me, you got all three." The same truth applies to your and my life. We can seek after wealth. We can seek after well-being, health, or any other thing in your imagination. But really, the end is emptiness. But when you choose to seek after godly wisdom, seek after the wisdom of God, then all the other good things follow suit. The truth of the matter is, godly wisdom is the greatest thing you can seek after in life. It is the greatest thing that you can seek for in life. King Solomon, one of the wisest men to ever live, sought after godly wisdom. Jesus did the same. In fact, Jesus didn't only seek after godly wisdom, he embodied it. He embodied the wisdom of God. We are to seek after godly wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says this: "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in your getting, get understanding." Realize, ladies and gentlemen, every decision you and I make in life, every one of them should be sifted through the wisdom of God. He knows your life and the plan He has for your life better than anyone. And we should seek after His wisdom before we make any decision in life. We should do our best to get godly wisdom. And that's what the passage of Scripture we're looking at this morning is all about, is finding true wisdom through godly wisdom. If you have your copy of God's Word, please turn with me to James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Now, you'll remember we are in the middle of a verse-by-verse study of the book of James. We are now in the middle part of it, in verses 13 through 18 of chapter 3. I hope you will read along silently with me as I read it aloud. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Let's pray. Father, this morning, remind us of our need of your wisdom. Remind us, Father, that there is no human wisdom that really ever comes through. The knowledge and intellect of the world is foolishness in the sight of God, who encompasses truth and knowledge. And Father, help us to understand we need your wisdom more now than ever. Lord, speak to us deeply this morning from your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to see this here. Number one, wisdom is measured by a person's character. Wisdom is measured by a person's character. Look at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. How do I know if someone is wise or not? Or how do I know if I'm wise? I look at the pattern of my life. Am I living a life that is good? Am I living a life of character? That is how I decide. That is how I evaluate my life or someone else's to see if they're living under the wisdom of God. But first, I want you to see the rhetorical question James asked here at the beginning. James asked, who is wise and understanding among you? Now, when he asks, who is wise? That Greek word there for wise refers to one with moral insight. One with moral insight, or it can refer to one who has practical skills in dealing with the issues of life. Practical skills dealing with the issues of life. So godly wisdom, let me boil that down for you. Godly wisdom allows you to look at different decisions you got to make in your life. And you have different options, option A, option B, option C. And godly wisdom basically allows you to see, if I choose option A, this is what's going to happen. If I choose option B, here's the consequences, good and bad. That's what godly wisdom is. It allows you to see what are the consequences of my choices, good or bad. You know, growing up, and still to this day, my dad will tell me things. Son, you don't need to do this, or you do need to do this. Because for some reason, he can see farther than I can. But that's godly wisdom, is being able to look at your life and saying, if I make this decision, this is probably the best outcome. This is probably what's going to happen. And you'll also see here, James asks not only who is wise, but also who is understanding among you. Now that word understanding, it refers to intellectual perception. It refers to the intellect of someone, but being able to perceive. It has the same connotation with it. It carries the same notion. Someone who can look at decisions that they have to make and view the outcome of those situations. But realize, ladies and gentlemen, wisdom is not measured in the degree someone holds. It's measured by the deeds of someone's life. Wisdom is not about acquiring all this knowledge and information. Rather, wisdom is applying godly principles to your life. You are a wise person if you apply the godly principles that we find in Scripture to your life. Have you ever met anyone who claimed to be wise but always acted foolishly? I have. I've encountered those people. And you realize, even if they claim to be wise, their wisdom is measured by the depth of their character. Just as a tree, you can determine a tree by the fruit it bears. You can determine someone if they're living by the wisdom of God, by the acts that you find in their life. But think about your life for a moment. Let me think about mine. I look at all the different decisions I make in life. Have they been good? Have they been peaceful? Am I living under the wisdom of God, or am I living in disorder, dysfunction all the time? The godly life, the godly wisdom in life leads us to peace and goodness? Are you tempted to escalate conflict, pass on gossip, fan the fire of discord? Is that you? Then you're probably not living under the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God helps us to tame our tongue, as James said. It helps us to live a peaceful life, a good life for God. The pattern of your life reveals God's wisdom that you possess. Now, from there, I want to show you three biblical characterizations of wisdom. These are biblical wisdom that has been characterized by James here. A, biblical wisdom is characterized by humility. Someone who truly has biblical wisdom in their life, they're a humble person. Look at verse 13 again. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. The good life and deeds of someone is always best portrayed in their humility and wise meekness. The truly wise person, James says here, is a humble person. Is a humble person. You know, again, the place people reach in life does not give them wisdom. What shows if they have wisdom or not is their humility. Realize the truly wise person is humble because they realize their wisdom did not come from them. They have nothing to boast about. That's why they can't be boastful. They have to be humble because they realize all the knowledge and the wisdom that they possess comes from God. It did not first originate with them. True wisdom begins with God. God defines wisdom this way in Job chapter 28, verse 28. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And depart from evil is understanding. That verse right there describes saving faith. Both fearing God and departing from evil take place initially at conversion. So, you become wise. You begin to become wise at the point of your conversion. That is the first time that you have any source of true wisdom in your life, is at the moment of conversion, when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And as long as you have only human wisdom, or to put it in James' words in verse 15, earthly, natural, demonic, you cannot know the true wisdom of God. Without that first critical step of coming to faith in Jesus, you have no true wisdom in your life. There's only human reasoning. That's it. There is no true wisdom until you first become saved. And think about this. If you have submitted to the gospel in repentance, you have come to faith in the Lord Jesus, the giver of all wisdom is the Savior of your life. And this book right here goes from being historical facts or an outline of laws you have to abide by to being a pearl of wisdom for your life. That's what the Bible becomes. And the source of your true wisdom that comes from God is when He saves you and then you start to apply yourself to the Word of God. That's the beginning of wisdom in your life. And in my life, that is where wisdom begins. And because wisdom is always traced back to God and His Word, there is no place for human boastfulness in our life. Because we realize none of this wisdom comes from me. It all comes from God. It is all found in the Word of the Lord. And that is why human wisdom and godly wisdom are in absolute opposition to each other. We should leave the elementary understanding of the world and embrace the true richness of the wisdom of God and allow His wisdom to mold us and to begin to make us into all God has for us. Godly wisdom is humility. Also, godly wisdom can also be characterized by graciousness. By graciousness. Look at verses 14 through 16. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts. Do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from the heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Realize, ladies and gentlemen, true wisdom leaves no room for bitter envy. That's another way to say zealous jealousy. True wisdom does not allow for that. True wisdom is gracious. It's giving. Someone that is truly under the wisdom of God, you will notice that by their graciousness and their giving. Envy and strife are clear indicators that someone that has so-called wisdom, it's not from above, but it's from the devil. It's unspiritual, James says. It brings disorder and confusion. The bottom line here is this. The truly wise person does not seek glory or gain for himself. He seeks giving and graciousness for others. That's the truly wise person, James says. They are humble and they are gracious. But I want you to notice something here. This is a very stark contrast to human wisdom. Human wisdom says, always climb the ladder. It doesn't matter who you have to trample on, who you have to put down, climb the ladder, make yourself. It's all about yourself. But godly wisdom says, it's all about God and others. It's all about service. Do you see the clear contrast there? It's not about us, it's about others. And today, our thinking is attacked by worldly philosophies and methodologies in an attempt to divert us from the Word of God as the only source that can satisfy the deep needs of humanity. It's not a new attack. The Corinthian believers had the same problem. They were strongly influenced by the prevailing ideas of their day as well. When they became Christians and they were awakened to the revelation of God, they were exposed to an obvious conflict. And this obvious conflict, Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Quote, "The word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" While the first century philosophers viewed the wisdom of God as foolishness, in truth, God exposed their so-called wisdom as foolish. Realize, don't be surprised when you try to align yourself with the wisdom of God that the world says, that's foolish. That's wrong. Don't do that. It's all about you. And the true wisdom that we can give to the world is that they are in need of a Savior. But the world says, no, I don't need that wisdom. I'm good enough on my own. And if there really is a God, I'm good enough to get there, to heaven. But because God encompasses all truth, we realize that they need a Savior. You see that? Godly wisdom is hated by the world because it is in complete contrast. It is an absolute battle with godly wisdom. Do not be surprised when worldly wisdom attacks godly wisdom in your life. They are mutually exclusive. But realize, God has given man the ability to analyze, to study, to categorize, and even develop physical resources on this earth to benefit physical life. But that is where human wisdom ends. Because human wisdom can only see the human realm. Godly wisdom sees the full spectrum and the spiritual side of things. And godly wisdom says we need more than just human answers. We need God to solve our spiritual dilemma. We have a spiritual dilemma. We need forgiveness of sins because we are spiritually dead. And the wisdom of man has no contribution to that. None at all. If they have any, it says work hard enough so you can get to heaven. But the wisdom of God says there's no way you can do that. You have to trust in Jesus. And go from there just down, and you'll realize there's a huge contrast. the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. The wisdom of God says, give and be gracious and humble. The wisdom of man says, take for yourself, step on others. The wisdom of God is gracious. C, the wisdom of God is peaceful. It's peacefulness. Biblical wisdom is characterized by peacefulness. Look at verses 17 through 18. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What James is saying here is this: a truly wise man is characterized by the peace in his life. You can realize someone is under the reign of the wisdom of God when they're at peace in their life. Be honest with yourself. Are you at peace with yourself? In this moment, do you have peace? Are you trusting the wisdom of God even though you don't understand the circumstances? The truly wise person is in a state of unbelievable peace. The wisdom of God reigning in your life will give you an assurance of the peace. It will give you the assurance that God has it all under control. Godly wisdom brings absolute peace to your life because you realize all of the directions He will give you are for your good and His greater purpose. And you can trust that. You know, someone who categorizes the peacefulness of God because they're under the wisdom of God, like I've never seen, is Brother John Benton. Brother John, I've talked to him so many times. He is a man of deep wisdom and knowledge, and I promise you can just sense the peace of God in his life because he rests in the wisdom of God. And that's what I want. And that's what you should want, is the wisdom of God to reign in your life so much that there's absolute peace. That is a characterization of the wisdom of God. Now, turn your outlines on the back. We're not done. I faked you out here. Forgot to put the life application on there. So, life application. I'm going to give you five practical ways you can develop more wisdom of God in your life. Now, as I was studying for this, these points come from John Piper, okay? These are John Piper's points, but I want to expound on these points for a moment, okay? Here are five things that we can do to have more wisdom of God in our life. First, desire wisdom with all your might. Desire wisdom with all your might. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 8 says, prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you for your embrace. Those are not cheap words, ladies and gentlemen. Those are not. To prize something and to embrace someone are signs of intense desire and love. Wisdom must be valuable for us. We must search for it. We must be willing to sell all in order to buy it. As Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4 says, seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasure. Number two, since wisdom is found in the Word of God, search the Word of God. Search out the Word of God. Study it. Analyze it for the wisdom of God. Listen to Psalms chapter 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We must devote ourselves to careful study and analyzation of the Word of God in order to receive more wisdom of God. You must do that. That must be a daily principle. The wisdom of God comes from spending time with God in His Word. Spend time with God in His Word. And on top of that, let me just suggest something here. Even though you spend time in His Word, do something a little extra. Read a book concerning the book of Revelation. Read a book on Proverbs. Do something to grow your own intellect and knowledge of God. Allow God to shape you in more forms than just one way. Do whatever you can to become more saturated with God. Grow in your wisdom. And someday I hope we all can be like Proverbs 18:4. The words of his mouth are as deep as waters. The fountain of wisdom is a gushing spring. Grow yourself. Become deep in the Word of God. Thirdly, pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for godly wisdom. Realize Solomon was not born a wise man. He prayed for the wisdom of God. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 11, it states, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, now I do according to your word." And Daniel admitted that in himself he had no wisdom. Daniel chapter 2, verse 30. But he said in chapter 2, verse 23, "Thee, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for thou hast given me wisdom and strength, and hast made known to me what we asked of thee." And we see, we have seen how Paul prayed that the churches might be given wisdom, spiritual wisdom, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, and that they might have a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of God. And finally, James puts it as clear as possible. You remember in the first chapter of the book of James, in verse 5, James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God." The truth of the matter is, wisdom is a gift of God, and he's ready to give it graciously to us when we ask. Number four, this one might surprise you. Frequently think of your death. Frequently think of your death. You know, that's something we don't think about often, is our ultimate demise. We don't think about that. Or to put it another way, think of the shortness of this life and the infinite length of the next. This is a very short time. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." It's very cleansing to have a sober reminder that ticking heart inside your chest could stop at any moment. It could stop at any moment. How do you want your life to be remembered? What do you want your legacy to be? And when you start to think about that, it'll start to shape your decisions and make you want to be more aligned to the wisdom of God in all the decisions you make. Finally and last, this is where it all starts. You must come to Jesus. Come to Jesus to get wisdom. He said this to the people of his day in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. "The queen of the south will arise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." That might have been just a little bit of an understatement. Greater than Solomon, indeed. Solomon spoke the wisdom of God. Jesus was the wisdom of God, is the wisdom of God. Others had spoken truth, but Jesus is truth. Others have pointed to the way of life, but Jesus is the way and the life. He is the way and the life. Others had promised all these different things, but all the promises of God is found in Jesus. Others have offered God's forgiveness, but Jesus bought it by his death. Therefore, in him, quote Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. To know and follow and love Jesus is to own the treasure of ultimate and eternal happiness. Therefore, the command, get wisdom, means first and foremost, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's the beginning. That's the fountain of all wisdom. Let's stand in a moment of response. This morning, I don't know about your life. I don't know what's going on in your life. But the fact of the matter is, the true source of wisdom comes from Jesus. And the wisest decision you and I can ever make in life is coming to faith in the Lord Jesus. If you've been sitting here this morning and you've realized something is not right in my life, I'm a lost sinner separated from God, and I know in this moment, if I was to perish, I would spend eternity separated from God. The wisest decision you can make is to come running to Jesus this morning. And it is very simple in how you do that. It's, Jesus, save me. Forgive me of my sin. It's that simple. And He will answer it every time. If you want to come to join this church this morning, I'll be down front to meet you. If you have been saved and you realize you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, maybe you've truly been saved after you were baptized, and you know you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism again, I am down front to meet you. If you need prayer, I'm down front to meet you. Whatever it is, I'm down front to meet you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom that you give to us all. Father, I pray that you'll give wisdom even now. As this invitation is given, if someone does not know you, Lord, give them the boldness and the discernment to trust in you to make the wisest decision they'll ever make. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.